or ideas, few short ideas about Lag BaOmer. Okay, number one, there's a very big, there's a minig in Klal Yisrael, obsession almost, is that people, Rachman and Litzlan, who are struggling to have children, there's a minig in Klal Yisrael that they go to the kever of Rashbi, or not even wherever you are, and they give Chai Rutul,
Chai,
it means 18 rutul. What is rutul? It's an ancient coin. It's like 18 pennies. I don't even know what it is. Some type of ancient coin that we never heard of. You give Chai, Rutul, Tetzdaka, Lezecher, Nishmas, Rashbi, Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. And in his giving the money to Tzedakah in his merit, it should be a zuchus that this mishpacha should be blessed with zera shel kayama, with children. Any sefer you open up about Rashbi, about Lag BaOmer, you're going to find this. This is the first thing. This ancient minig of giving tzedakah ches yud is chayis 18. It's like 18 pennies. Basically, give a mamash 18 pennies. Even today, 18 pennies, and you give. I'm giving this money litzedakah lezuchus. It should go li'ilinishmas. Rabban Shimbar Yochai, and in that merit, may he be on my behalf an advocate that this mishpacha should be zeichet av zera shel kayama. Okay, or light a candle. You light a candle. Let's say if you don't want to give any money, light a candle. You light a candle lezeicha nishmas, like a yahrzeit candle lezeicha nishmas. Rabban Shimbar Yochai, it should be a zuchus v'chul. Why specifically in regard to children? Not in regard, you don't find this in regard to Aishav Siyata Deshmaya in being a Talmud Chacham, Aishav Siyata Shmaya having Ruach HaKodesh, Siyata Shmaya making Parnasa, Shaduchim. You don't find that. It's only in regard to one very specific area of having merit, to a person should merit to have children. Zera Shel Kayama. So the question is, what is this all about? Why? Why this specific thing? So it's very fascinating. I was preparing and I was learning about Lag BaOmer, and it's very fascinating to learn about the birth of Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. There's an incredible legend, maybe it's Medrash, about how he came into existence, how he came into this world. Now, who was Rabban Shimon's father? Yochai. Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. Yochai was a real person. Yochai was a real living person. He lived in the time of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Rabbi Akiva lived right after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He lived. Rabbi Akiva died supposedly either 52 years after the Churban or 92 years, somewhere in that area. He was killed from the Asura Harugei Malchus in the time of Beitar, approximately between 50 to 90 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So we're dealing over here about approximately 1,900 years ago. Okay, about 1,900 years ago is when Yochai lived and when Rashbi was born. Now, Rashbi had a mother, right?
So.
Okay, Rabban Shimon had a mother. He had a father. He had a mother. What was his mother's name? We know. We have a tradition. We have a Masorah. Her name was Sol. Okay, so the parents' name were Yochai, and everything's a legend. It's a legend. If you believe it, you believe it. Emkabolihi Nikabel. This is what it says in the books. Okay, he had a father and a mother, Yochai and a son. His father was a very holy person. His father was affiliated with the government. He was very. He had a position in the Roman government. And he used his position to help Jews. He was obviously a Rebbe Talmud Chacham, but he spent time. Now he was not learning Yoimam V'Layla in Kollel. He was busy like Mordechai. They compared to Mordechai. V'Rotzu L'Roy V'Echad. He was Oisek in Atzolus Nefashas. He was Oisek in the Roman government in his position of authority of leadership. And he primarily used his position to help Klal Yisrael in these very difficult times of Shmad. He lived during the time was called the Dor Shel Shmad, when the Goyim were bent on destroying the Jewish people, that they should not be observant of any halachos whatsoever. Yochai and Sarah did not have children. They were married for many years and did not have children. Yochai, now we have to understand the times. We're living in different times. And in his times, He did not have children. He was getting older in years, moving on in his years, and he did not have children. And he decided, if my wife Sarah is not having a child, I have a mitzvah to have children. I won't have children. I will take another wife, a second wife, or maybe he would divorce his first wife. It's not really clear. The story seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. He was going to divorce Sarah, or he was going to take a second wife. So Sarah got wind of what is going to happen, and it obviously caused her enormous grief. And she was mispala, very, very intense tzilas for it could be even for years, it could be leading up to this, all the years when she did not have children. Her degree, the way it is described in this medrash or whatever the description is, the intensity of her tefillos was very, very unique, very special, something which they took note of in Shamayim. The story goes, it was Rosh Hashanah, and Yochai went to sleep. And in Rosh Hashanah, we know from the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah, everyone, Kol Chai is Nifkad. In Rosh Hashanah, it is decided, as we say in the Unesana Toikif, Kama Ya'avrun, Kama Yiboreun, Mi Yichye, Mi Yomos. You should know, in fact, there is a Girsa that says, not Kama Ya'avrun, Kama Ya'abrun. How many will become pregnant? Okay, there's a Girsa. I saw there's a whole discussion about the correct Girsa over the Unesana Toikif. Kama, and it makes a lot more sense. The Kama fits into the Nusach. When you study the Nusach, after I remember all the details, Kama Ya'abrun. How many women will be Nifkan, will become pregnant this year? And Yochai, he went to sleep, and he had a dream. And in the dream, he was in a garden. And in the garden, there were many, many different types of trees. Some trees had fruit, and some trees did not have fruit. Some were drier than others. In addition to having fruit, not having fruit, it seems from the story that some of the trees also, not only did they not have fruit, they were dry, dead. They are dead trees. And in this dream, Yochai, he saw himself leaning, resting on a dead tree. A tree that did not have fruit, and worse, the tree was dead. Alright? And then he sees a person come in to the garden, a big container of water, big flask of water, and he starts watering the trees. And some trees he waters, and some trees he doesn't water. He moves around the garden with his big container. And then this fellow in the dream, he approaches the tree which Yochai in the dream is resting on, and he looks at the tree, and he doesn't do anything. He puts down the container of water that he has, this big container, puts it down. He takes out of his pocket a little flask, a smaller flask, out of his pocket, opens it up, and he pours this liquid on the tree. And suddenly the tree blossoms. The tree comes to life, and the tree blossoms. And that's it. Vayikotz. Yochai wakes up. The night of Rosh Hashanah, he realizes something very significant has happened in this dream. And he honors and he wakes up Sarah, and he tells Sarah about the dream. And Yochai himself interprets the dream. And he says, in the dream, I went into the garden. The garden, it represents life. The trees represent the Noshim, the women of the world. Very good story for women. The women of the world. Well, that's a good story. I'm going to tell you now. Some of these trees have peyros, some do not. And which means there are some women that this year have children, and some women will not become pregnant. There's someone that will become pregnant, some will not become pregnant. Who will become pregnant, will not? Well, the person that came into the dream represents, let's say, a malach, represents Hashem's command, Hashem's will. The one that he watered represents, it's Hashem's Ratzon, that this year they should be Nifkad. V'Hashem Pokad Esara. V'Tahar V'Teilet. Right? V'Tahar. That the one that was watered represents Hashem as the son, that this woman this year should have a child. And he sees there all the women. This one, yeah, this one, not. V'chul, v'chul. And then the Malach comes, this person, we will call him the Malach, comes to his tree, the tree that Yochai is resting upon, which means, the tree that he's resting upon means his wife, his own wife, Sarah. And he doesn't water the tree. But instead he takes out of his pocket a special flask and he waters it. Also, he didn't water it. And the tree comes to life, it blossoms. So he says to Sarah, this means in this year we're going to have a child. That's how he interprets. But he says to his wife, Sarah, but there's one thing about the dream I don't understand. Why did the Malach, or the person, not water the tree, our tree, meaning you, from the regular container of water? Why didn't he water the tree? Why did he take out of his pocket a special flask and water the tree from that little flask? That I don't understand. I have no interpretation of what this means. Let me go ask my friend, Rabbi Akiva, the Halakha Rabbi Akiva. He could explain to me what the significance of this part of the dream is. He goes to Rabbi Akiva, and he tells him the whole dream, and he tells him his interpretation. He says, you're right, your interpretation is on the mark. And now I'll tell you what the meaning of the flask is. When this angel came to your tree, he saw it's dead. It's dead. All the water you can possibly pour on this tree will not change anything. Your wife does not have the ability to have children. It's a dead tree. There's nothing you can do. You can water a dead tree. It's not going to produce fruits. There was nothing that can be done. But he had in his pocket a container. What was the liquid in the container? Rabbi Akiva told Yochai, it was your wife's tears. Your wife's collective tefillos over all of these years, her tzar, the tears that she shed were collected in this note. The Malach took this flask with those tears and poured it on your tree. And that is why your tree miraculously came back to life. And indeed, this year you will have a child. And who was born? Rabban Shimon. He called his son Shimon. That is the story of the birth, the conception of Rabban Shimon. Now, after you hear this story, it's crystal clear as to why there is a minog that if a person, Rachman al-Tzlan, is struggling, a person knows of someone that's struggling to have children, there's such a concept to give chai rutul, whatever that means, to give a few dollars, a few pennies, even a few pennies, and give it, I'm giving it to tztaka, l'zeche nishmas, Rashbi. And you don't find that giving money, l'zeche nishmas, Rashbi, is going to help you with parnasa. You don't find that. You don't find in all the books, giving money, l'zeche nishmas, Rashbi, is going to help you with shidduchim. You don't hear about this. They talk about it a little, maybe it's related. But you don't find the other thing, only this. Why? It's pashut. Because the whole existence, the whole conception and existence of Rashbi, the fact that he came into this world, was through a story where his wife, his mother, and his father struggled. They struggled. They struggled very, very greatly. And it was only through an intense koich of tefillah of his mother that he exists. His whole source, his whole existence is only because of the koyach of tefillah, something which is almost supernatural. And therefore, if a person needs to be mispal, needs to come on to that, to something, a special siyata shmaya, you have to go to a person who himself can trace his own existence to a special connection, a special siyat d'shmaya, bakasha tefila, to come into this world. Like I told you not long ago, with Rav Chaim of Elojin, every yeshiva today that exists today traces itself to the first yeshiva of modern times. The first yeshiva of modern times is what? Is the yeshiva of Elojin. Okay, until the time of Elojin, I don't know how many years ago, if Elojin was less than 200 years ago, I would imagine, It was a different type of system of education. Whole different, the whole system of education was very, very different. Very. Today we have a formal yeshiva where you come together and there are rebbeim, har rebbeim. The model that we have today is paralleled after the Lajna yeshiva. It was very successful until it was shut down by the government because we know today why. Not like they say today, Rabbi Rakefet has uncovered, they have uncovered new documents. And the reason why was because they were afraid that they would shut down the government. They were afraid the people in the yeshiva were very opinionated and very powerful, very influential, and they would rebel against the Russian government. They would make trouble. So they decided, we are now looking for trouble, we are living in difficult times. They suppressed people who made noise. So they shut down the yeshiva. Not like they say today. Today, go ask any yeshiva, why was the Volozhny yeshiva shut down? You know what they're going to tell you? Because the government demanded that they teach Limudei Chol. And they decided, better there be no yeshiva, then they should teach Limudei Chol in the yeshiva. That's what they're going to tell you. That was written in all the books.
Right.
There may be some degree of truth to it, but recently, the archives of the Russian government, there were things that were released, that were classified, that were released not that long ago, and there's a file on the Volozhny yeshiva that has been declassified only not that long ago. And there it talks about the shutting down of the Volozhny yeshiva. And in these documents, it makes it very clear, at least the way Rabbi Kefet described in his lectures, is that the government was very scared of this yeshiva. The people who were in the yeshiva, the rebbeim, were very influential people, and they were very powerful people, and they were afraid that they were not happy with the policies of the government officials, and they would make trouble. They would have influence. So therefore, they decided they don't want competition. They're not looking for trouble, and they nipped it in the bud. They shut it down. Doesn't what? I don't know. You have to Google it. Google it. Don't trust me. You got to Google it. Google it later on and read about this. Okay, so this is... So this is something which has been recently been revealed. There was no way this could have been known until very recently, until this information was related. It was always assumed that it was because of they wanted to teach the Limudei Chol, which appears to be not 100% correct. Was there any truth behind it? I don't know. You have to study the material. I don't know. But in any event, who was Rav Chaim Volozhin? So I told you the story not that long ago. It's a very fascinating story. The Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh was traveling through town, and he came to the home, and he came, and he was staying over. He needed a place to stay, and the parents of Rav Chaim Volozhin took him into their home overnight. He was staying, he was a boarder there, whatever the story was. And they had the greatest, greatest respect, Yiras Roimimus, for the Halakha of Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh is a giant, like we can't even begin to be massive. Go through the Torah of Shagas Aryeh, Shagas Aryeh, he was there, and he was there, and he sat up the whole night learning Torah. And the next morning, the parents of the Shagas Aryeh, of the Rav Chaim Volozhin, whatever their names were, they said to him, Shagas Aryeh, then we get a Mazel Tov, my wife gave birth to a baby in the middle of the night. So the Shagas Aryeh says, impossible, I was here the whole night, sitting and learning the whole night. I didn't hear a peep. When my wife gave birth. The Shagas Aryeh, when my wife gave birth, there were koilei subarakim. Okay, there was thunder. Okay, when a woman is in labor, this is before the epidurals, you know, it's not a pleasant experience. And a woman is screams out, so he says to her, he says, you know, you're right. But my wife knew that you're sitting and learning, and she did not want to disturb you. So she suppressed her cries when she gave birth in order not to disturb your learning. Can you imagine such a story? No epidurals here. Okay, so the rabbi said, no epidurals. This is the real deal. The real deal. So Shagas Aryeh was shocked. He was dumbfounded that a woman can have such sensitivity to Torah, to Rabbanim, not to disturb him when she was giving birth and not to cry out in pain. So he gave her a bracha that her child, what? Two children? Who had two? Brother. He had a brother from him also? But this was the... They were twins?
No, he gave her two.
Two more. Illuminate the world. And Kachava. That was the Maya. So you see over here, his birth. The birth of Chaim Mivolozhin took place against such an amazing story. I told you last time. I said, what do you learn from this? A yeshiva is not an institution that's supposed to make noise. A yeshiva, stay out of politics. Leave the politics for the rabbanim. A yeshiva is a place to sit and learn quietly. Talking, you see, some of the better yeshivas, you're not here to issue public statements about the world. Leave the public statements for the rabbanim. They're the ones who should get involved in politics and issue PR. Press release. A press release. This is our day of what we have to say about the president and about this scandal and that scandal. Leave the public relation. The public releases all of these things for the rabbanim. A yeshiva is a place to sit and learn. Quiet. It all traces back to Chaim Mivolozhin. He was born in a moment of silence. Not in a moment of commotion, of disrupting the world. There's something to the environment where you come from. Rashbi was only came into this world from a very powerful story of where a woman was in a matzav of tsar, that she did not have children, and her husband was considering taking another wife, which we don't appreciate this because we don't live in these times. But this, going back 2,000 years ago, this was something which was very
normal.
Was normal. Okay, the wife is not having children, and so her husband took a second wife, and this was expected. It wasn't like you get married. This is part of the deal. And she had tsar, and she was mispalo, and Rabbi Akiva was involved. Rabbi Akiva told him this beautiful story with the flask of water. The flask that he poured upon the tree was the flask of tears. It puts Rashbi's existence in an entirely different light. And therefore, when a person, Rachman Lutzlan, is knows of someone who is in the need of having children, and you look to Rashbi, you're not just looking to a tzaddik. You're looking to a person who himself is a product of such a situation. One more list, very, very short, you saw it in the Lag BaOmer. When the whole story of Lag BaOmer was all about Rashbi, he locked himself up for 13 years in a cave. There were three people that had a conversation. One, Rabbi Yehuda, said that the government, they're out of this world. A Medina shel chesed. They build bridges to nowhere. Right? They build bridges just so people can have parnasa to build a bridge. It doesn't make a difference where the bridge goes. Right? As long as there's parnasa, you have someone has a job, you can build a bridge. That's good enough. That's a Medina shel chesed. And then there was Rabbi Yossi. Quiet. Didn't say a word. And then Rabbi Shimon said, what kind of country is this? They build the bridges just to collect taxes, just the tolls. They build bath houses for Zunus. He said the nastiest things about the garden. So what happened? There were cameras. There was eavesdropping. And the government found out the NSA existed then also. And they were listening in, and they heard what they said, and they said, Rabbi Yehuda, that gave Shevach, he's going to be promoted the head of the Republican Party. The Reish HaMedabrim, B'chol Makayim. He's going to get a job. Rabbi Yossi, that was quiet, Siberia. We're not going to kill you, exile. Rabbi Shimon, that had the chutzpah to say something nasty about us. We're going to kill you. You're going to die. So what did he do? Now here's the point I want to make. So he ran away into the cave 13 years. No, it's not what he did. This is why Lag BaOmer is very significant. The only one that was slated as a criminal, that his life was in danger, was one person. Rashbi. Who did he take with him in exile?
His son.
Because if I am going into exile, I have to give over the Torah to the next generation. He has to also go into exile with me. My son must come with me. Rabbi Eliezer, he took him with him. And he taught him Torah. Rashbi, Lag BaOmer is a big mistake to think that Lag BaOmer is only about Rashbi. It's not true. That's false. When you want to go, and you know, there are many things about Lag BaOmer, when you want to go into that arena of Rashbi, it's Rashbi and Rabbi Eliezer. Rashbi and his son. His son did not need to go into exile. His son could have stayed home and had a good life. But what kind of chinuch, what kind of person would he have become? What's the Mesorah? The Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer is the Mesiras Nefesh of chinuch. It's not just the Mesiras Nefesh of Torah Lishma. He went into the cave and he sat and learned. Big deal, so he sat and learned. So what? The Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer is that Rashbi was Moiser Nefesh to give over his Torah to the next generation. That wasn't required. That wasn't necessary. Rabbi Eliezer could have went to public school. No one would have known the difference. He took Rabbi Eliezer in the cave with him, made him suffer with him the same child abuse. He made him suffer the same thing like he suffered. Why? Because if I'm going, God will come. Why is Lag BaOmer when everyone they cut off the children, the children? It's the beginning of chinuch. Okay, the chalaka. It's the day when you cut the child's hair. Okay, that's the day when you... Why three years old is when chinuch begins. It's not 6, 7, it's not the sophisticated chinuch, but it's the beginning of chinuch habanim. Why Lag BaOmer? We can make chinuch habanim, make it on Shavuos, make it on Tu B'Av. Why Lag BaOmer? Because Rashbi is the one who taught Klal Yisrael what it means to be Moiser Nefesh for Chinuch Habonim. There was no need. Today it would be illegal. He would be banned. What kind of father are you? You're going locked up in a correction facility upstate and you're demanding that your child come with you and be subject to all the criminals around you? The Meshuggah. You're a criminal, so you're a criminal. Your child has to suffer. Your child has to go. Keep him out of this. No. I have to be mechanichim. It's bizarre. Think about it. It's very bizarre. Totally bizarre. But that was the way it was. He was moiser nefesh to an extreme for chinuch habanim. That is why Lag BaOmer is the day that we celebrate Chinuch Habanim. You take the kids on vacation. there's no yeshiva. We do the opposite. Okay, that's the Chinuch Habanim. That's what it's all about. Lag BaOmer. That's why you give the haircuts. You inaugurate a child into the world of Chinuch because this is the day. It's not Rashbi. It's the team. It's Rashbi with Rabbi Eliezer. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.